I've been enjoying listening to your album, and I want to hear all about it. But first, can you tell me how do you pronounce that word?
Is it Rhapsodia. Rhapsodia.
Rhapsodia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it really comes from the second movement of my sonata, and the
right.
second movement of that is originally I was thinking that it's a format that I would call rhapsody, and a lot of the influence, the classical part of what's in that sonata is sort of reminds me very much of sort of Russian influence kind of stuff. So, you know, Rachmaninoff or Tchaikovsky or mm-hmm. something like that. So I wanted to make it more rhapsodia rather than rhapsody.
Yeah, and giving it that unusual spelling, make sure that anybody who Googles it will come up with your name first.
I hadn't thought of that, but that's a really good thing to keep in mind for future. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I like your album titles, and of course they come from your songs, and all of your albums up to now have been jazz, but
exactly.
You know, Dogtown and She-Devil and Triceratops. I've actually gone back and listened to some of that because I wanted
wow.
to see how you reconcile your jazz history with your classical pedigree.
Okay.
Can you just sort of introduce us to you as a musician? I know you started classical really young, and then you made kind of a detour into jazz, but you never really left the classical behind completely. Though.
Exactly, right. I always, the classical was really my first, you know, that's what I'm originally, that was my identity as a musician for a very long time until actually it was a mistake. I got put into a jazz composition class, you know, in one of these Saturday Manhattan School prep division, you know, programs I was in. And I signed up for a composition class, turned out to be jazz. And, you know, I kind of thought, well, this is a mistake. And I stayed for the class. And by the end of that class, I just decided I'm going to have to go back next week and just continue this. This is really interesting. They were talking about blues yeah. and, you know, the construction of blues compositions. And that's kind of how it all got started with the jazz.
When did you start performing as a jazz musician?
Then? Not really all that soon. I really continued. I was sort of studying the jazz and kind of getting my jazz chops together while continuing with classical and performing classical. And it really wasn't until I finished my master's program in jazz that I really started really professionally gigging, you know, in mm-hmm. the jazz world, you know. So that was some years later. It was about 6 years after, you know, after I first started studying jazz. Although I, you know, when I got to Ithaca College, I was in the jazz band and, you know, was able to kind of work out my skills during that time as well.
Let's talk about your piano sonata, which this is not new, right? It's been around for a while.
It now has been, yeah. I really composed it in 2006. And yeah, it was soon, you know, played. It was performed not by me, but it was performed at this festival in Mexico, and I started performing it as well during my concerts.
What made you want to write the piano sonata and to do it in a mostly classical style?
Yeah, I think it was something that felt to me like it was like something that was just waiting to be born. I mean, it was just something that just felt like there was no question in my mind the kind of the exact themes didn't, you know, come out until that time, you know, when I really started sitting down for long chunks of time to really get it figured out and written down, and
yeah.
It just felt like something that was the natural outgrowth of the fact that I hadn't really composed a lot of classical, you know, mm-hmm. material up to that point either. You know, as you said, my composing was largely focused in the jazz, Latin jazz world, except for projects, you know, in schooling, you know, growing up as far as classical stuff. So I was kind of overdue for a classical composition, and yet I have these jazz harmonies and jazz sensibilities, you know, floating around in my mind at all times. So that kind of had to be integrated, and I really wanted to integrate the two things. And there's, in my mind, I felt like, why hasn't this been done more, or at least why haven't I done it up till now? and it just felt like such a natural thing to kind of fuse these two things together.
Yeah. It's interesting. Somebody who wouldn't necessarily know that you are a jazz musician would hear it right away, especially in the first movement, that this really kind of moves back and forth between, you introduce some little jazz licks here and there.
Exactly. I kind of throw them in.
Yeah.
It's really, in my mind, kind of set in a really classical foundational, you know, foundationally, it's a classical backdrop, if you want to, you know, call it that. It's kind of like set on a canvas of classical setting, you know, and it's the jazz elements in it are more, you know, the harmonic element, some of the harmonic elements and the melodic, like, you know, like you said, some sort of melodic things that I threw in, and just sort of little riffs here and there that, or even passages that are more jazz in nature, but the structure, you know, the real foundation of this is really classical.
You can hear certainly influences here and there, but altogether, taken as a whole, you have your own voice there.
Thank you. That's a huge compliment to me because that's what I want to do. I don't want it to be, I hope not anyway. You never know how people are going to perceive your music, but
yeah.
I want to feel that it's something that's uniquely mine. I don't want it to be just thought, well, that sounds like, you know, Brahms with some jazz thrown in or something, you know, although I can't help but have influences, you know, from those eras.
But you very smartly included it on an album that has a lot of other composers that are core classical composers, but they all, maybe Beethoven aside, they all represent sort of an element that would feed its way into jazz. You know, you have Debussy, which is certainly
right
harmonically more jazzy. You have Bach.
Right. Bach is really the original jazzer.
Who is in syncopation.
Yeah.
And Chopin, who's sort of improvisation. You've got all these different elements strewn together.
That's true. I never really even thought of it that way, that the Beethoven really has the least in common, you know, you might say, with jazz, you know. That is true.
What led you to include the Beethoven Sonata?
My thought wasn't even, I know it, although we just said that, like, all these things have elements in common with jazz, although it wasn't really my intention, the point of the collection wasn't to say, okay, what's going to really have jazz elements in it, you know, and to look for the jazz in Bach and Chopin and, you know, and Debussy, in addition to the Beethoven. So in a way, that wasn't even my primary idea, although that's kind of nice if people find that, you know, in this in this collection. So my idea, you know, so the Beethoven wasn't really, in my mind, a departure from what I set out to do, which was really to, you know, I wanted to offset my sonata with, you know, with a lot of the music that I have played for many years. That one actually was probably the newest to my repertoire anyway. You know, the Bach and the Ballade, the Chopin Ballade and the Debussy go back a really long time for me.
I love in your notes here, you have a little note that says you think every concert needs a Beethoven piece.
Yeah, I know. It's sort of, that's almost sort of tongue-in-cheek said. But on the other hand, there is some truth to the idea. You know, in my mind, I guess this is just, people may disagree with me or have their own idea of what some of the most pure forms of classical piano music is. But to me, Beethoven is just, it's just the purest expression of classical music. You know, it's, and as much as I am totally driven by, you know, percussive harmonies and the more interesting harmonic aspects of, you know, the romantic era, like Chopin and Brahms. You know, Beethoven just is, it just, I feel incomplete in a way without a Beethoven composition at some point. I don't know if it's a conscious thing, but almost all of my programs seem to include that.
Well, you speak of your programs, and this recording, this album, could easily double for a piano recital.
Yes.
As is. Was that sort of what you were thinking here?
That's exactly, yeah. I really wanted it to be, because this is exactly the type of, I haven't done this exact lineup, you know, but this is something that I wanted it to feel like. This is a program that I would put together. It's not a collection of music that's like just meant for, you know, sort of piecemeal listening, although people listen the way they listen. So you're not going to tell everyone they have to sit there and listen to the whole, you know, concert as a program. But I wanted it to be set up that way for that possibility. And for me, this just worked as a what would be a listening experience, you know, in its entirety, including the whole thing.
Well, the album is called Rhapsodia, and people can find it at all the usual outlets. If folks want to learn a little bit more about you, you have a website they can go to?
I do. It's robertprester.com.
P-R-E-S-T-E-R.
Right. And the CD, all my CDs, the easiest way to access them is CD Baby.
All right. I know you have samples on your website, too, if people want to go and listen to little bits and pieces.
Exactly, of all my CDs.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for your time today, and thanks for joining us here on FM 91.
Thank you very much. Really an honor to talk with you about it.